The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor show. It's going to be one of those days. You are tuned into the America's Web Radio station. This is Victor Armendariz. Yes, that's me, the Mexican, not afraid to be American, not afraid to be American. And we've got so much to get to today. And my apologies for missing last week. I had another one of those ventures to Mexico. In case you haven't figured it out, I go to Mexico quite a bit. Sometimes for work, sometimes for pleasure, sometimes for both. Usually it's a little bit of both. But I love getting down there. And it's always eye-opening. It's always eye-opening because I talk to so many different people down there. You know, you're going to get from me what you just can't get from any other host. I mean, you really can't. I don't know of any other host that has feet on the ground like I do in Mexico and in different parts of Mexico. And I talk to different workers in Mexico. I talk to the upper class, the middle class, the lower class, the poor class, the really, really not-haves class. I mean, I'll talk to everybody around Mexico because I see all the types of people. In my travels across different parts of Mexico, I'll be in some really nice parts, and I'll be in some parts where people are living in cardboard boxes on the side of a mountain. I mean, I see it all, folks. I'm not kidding. It's a different world, and it just every time I see this stuff in Mexico, it reminds me of all the peep squeaks and these heads full of mushes that are coming out of high schools and going into these elite colleges. They've been brainwashed and they've been indoctrinated into hating their own country, and they have no idea what lies outside of this country. No idea. And don't give me this, I went backpacking across Europe. Give me a freaking break. When you take mommy and daddy's credit card and you go backpacking and take the Euro train and you get to see them really nice places. Look, I've been there. I've been to nice places in Spain. Been to nice places in Germany. Beautiful, beautiful places. I love Europe. There's some wonderful places in Europe. But it ain't America. It ain't the United States. And when you've got mommy and daddy's credit card and you're buzzing around in your Euro train, oh, I love the Euro train. Give me a break. Give me a break. When you have to fend for yourself and actually rely on good governance, and what I mean by that is government that stays out of your way so you can actually achieve and keep your sweat equity, yeah, that's when you start to really appreciate the United States. Even though right now we're having a hard time here in the U.S. because of some bozo leaders and enough indoctrinated people put a dementia patient to be the leader of this country. But we're going to rectify that. We're going to rectify that in November, folks. I think so. And you know what? I am feeling more and more. Now, listen, I don't want the Trump campaign. I do not want the Trump campaign to be overconfident. I do not want them to feel better and better about the way that looks like this election is going to go. I am feeling better and better about what I mean. When you look at the data, when you look at a lot of the I'm going to have a brain fart. I'm going to have a Biden moment here. But when you look at the little bits and pieces of data that are all coming together, and they're starting to drive the actual data. They're starting you're seeing trends now develop. We are months and weeks now, weeks and months now, where the trends are obvious. Trump is on a roll. The trends are going in Trump's way. Now, again, I do not want the Trump campaign to get overconfident. I want the Trump campaign to wake up every day and act like they're 10 points behind. Let me say it again. I want the Trump campaign to wake up every day and pretend. I want them to just assume they're 10 points behind everywhere because I want them to fight that hard. You got to keep fighting because the minute you let it get to your head that you just assume you're going to win or anything, then you're going to Hillary Clinton yourself. And let's not forget what happened in 2016. Hillary Clinton thought she was going to be anointed. She thought it was just a mere mere dotting of the line and crossing the T's. That's what Election Day was to her. She just figured this was mine. I'm going to be inaugurated, it's going to be mine, just anointed. And she was wrong. She was very, very wrong. And so we don't want the Trump campaign to get overconfident. We do not want. And listen, this goes to the voters as well. This goes to us, the voters, we the people. You're out there right now, and I don't care if you're independent libertarian, if you're a Democrat who has woken up, if you're an establishment Republican and you're coming home, if you're conservative, whatever you are, and you realize that we have to get rid of the dementia patient and bring in Donald Trump. And so you're right, whether you're holding your nose or not, I don't care. I don't care what your reason is. I don't care any of that. We are months and weeks now, where the trends are obvious. Trump is on a roll. The trends are going in Trump's way. Now, again, I do not want the Trump campaign to get overconfident. I want the Trump campaign to wake up every day and act like they're 10 points behind. Let me say it again. I want the Trump campaign to wake up every day and pretend. I want them to just assume they're 10 points behind everywhere, because I want them to fight that hard. You got to keep fighting, because the minute you let it get to your head that you just assume you're going to win or anything, then you're going to Hillary Clinton yourself. And let's not forget what happened in 2016. Hillary Clinton thought she was going to be anointed. She thought it was just a mere mere dotting of the line and crossing the T's. That's what Election Day was to her. She just figured, this is mine. I'm going to be inaugurated, it's going to be mine, just anointed. And she was wrong. She was very, very wrong. And so we don't want the Trump campaign to get overconfident. We do not want. And listen, this goes to the voters as well. This goes to us, the voters, we the people. You're out there right now, and I don't care if you're independent libertarian, if you're a Democrat who has woken up, if you're an establishment Republican and you're coming home, if you're conservative, whatever you are, and you realize that we have to get rid of the dementia patient and bring in Donald Trump. And so you're right, whether you're holding your nose or not, I don't care. I don't care what your reason is. I don't care any of that. As long as you're on the same page and we understand that we cannot afford to allow a dementia patient or his party. The Democrat Party is not the party of JFK. It is the party of radicals and progressive authoritarian wannabes. We can't allow these people like AOC to continue to run the agenda. So our choice right now is Donald Trump. And so I don't care what you think about Trump. Don't care if you have to go to the polls and hold your nose. We got to vote for Trump. I myself am unafraid. I'm not afraid to vote Trump. I'm not afraid to support Trump. Not afraid to tell you, because I am the Mexican, not afraid to be American. And right now, if you want to be American, if you want to preserve the freedoms and liberties and the republic that we have, the republic that we love so much, that constitution we love so much, you want to preserve it, you better suck it up and vote for Donald Trump. And I don't know why you haven't come around. A lot of you, I don't understand how you haven't come around to not supporting Trump, or at least being willing to say you support Trump. I mean, Trump is fighting for this country. It's clear. I don't care about personal. You know, I'm old enough to remember when we were told that personal lives of a president are no concern, that Bill Clinton banging everything in sight from the Oval Office to the Rose Garden, that wasn't our concern. I am sorry for if your kids are listening right now, just explain that to them later. but I don't care. We were told when Bill Clinton was chasing everything with a skirt, we were told when Bill Clinton was chasing what they, you know, back then they could identify women as women, and Bill Clinton would chase them. And when Bill Clinton chased them around the White House, we were told it was none of our concern. We were told that's his private life. That's what we were told. So I don't care about Trump's private life. I don't care. What I do know is Trump has good policies. I know Trump's going to come in, and Putin and Kim Jong-un and China, they're going to take note, and they will respect Trump because they respected him before. They may not like him, but they're going to respect him, and they're going to respect the United States, and they're not going to take advantage of us anymore. You want to end the war in Ukraine? Then you vote for Trump. Do I need to remind you that Donald Trump is the only president in recent American history? I mean, you could probably go back many, many, many decades and decades and decades. He's the only president that did not get us in a new war, didn't start a new war, didn't put us in a new war. Donald J. Trump is the most anti-war president we've had. You libertarians out there, you libertarians who just had a convention, and hey, kudos to you guys for inviting Trump. I'm really glad you did. I'm really glad you did. And kudos to some of you who listened to him. There were enough of you bozos, which is why the Libertarian Party doesn't go anywhere, because too many bozos are in it, who booed and did stuff like that. Yeah, whatever. Donald Trump is the closest thing to a libertarian president that we've ever had, and he may be the closest thing to a libertarian president that we ever will have. So, and I consider myself, now I will tell you that I'm a conservatarian. I'm conservative on some things. I'm libertarian on a whole lot of things. I love the aspect of at least some of the things of the Libertarian Party. I don't like what a lot of these bozos are out there pushing, the, who say they're libertarians. If you are for our current tax system, you're not a libertarian. If you're for a progressive tax system, you're not a libertarian. If you're for abandoning Israel, you're not a libertarian. If you're for abandoning the righteousness of our Constitution, you're not a libertarian. I'm just saying, look, maybe I have my idea of what it is, but I believe in the Constitution. I believe in freedom. I believe in the 18 enumerated powers. I believe the federal government is too darn big. I believe it needs to be as small as absolutely possible. There are 18 enumerated powers in the Constitution. That's it. That's it. The federal government doesn't need to do anything else. They shouldn't be allowed to do anything else. All your little social programs and your social nets and all this other stuff you want to do, hey, knock yourself out, but it needs to be on the state level. Our states, every individual state can be the beacon of democracy it wants to be. And if you want to let mob rules, you can let mob rules in California or New York or wherever else. But the federal government doesn't need to do that. The federal government is limited by the Constitution with 18 enumerated powers well spelled out. You can read Article 1, Article 2, Article 3. You can see very clearly the Constitution. There is no ambiguity. It is an amazing document, an amazing, amazing thing what our founding fathers gave us that we don't need to bastardize. We need to cherish it. And the federal government, so you libertarians out there, Donald J. Trump is the closest thing to a libertarian president that we've ever had, maybe we're ever going to have. But no, instead of getting behind him like you should have, you just nominated another loser. I shouldn't say that. I don't even know the guy. Bad host. Look, I don't know the guy, but from what all I can tell, they nominated another guy who's going nowhere. The Libertarian Party is just a joke. It's sad. It's sad because I have so much libertarianism inside me, and I'll keep, you know, I'll speak well about whatever I can about libertarians because I think that's the direction we need to go with some conservative, fiscal things and a strong military. Listen, I don't care if you think you're a libertarian and you don't think we need a strong military, then you're just going through life with your eyes closed. You know, I don't get it. But anyway, I prefer to call myself a conservatarian, but you libertarians out there who are diehard to the wool libertarians, or you think you are, Donald Trump is the closest thing you're ever going to get to a libertarian president, at least right now. And for you people out there who are on the left who constantly try and tell me that you're anti-war, no, you're not anti-war if you support Hillary. You're not anti-war if you support Biden. You're not anti-war if you support any of today's Democrats. They are warmongers. They love war. They want to extend this Ukraine-Russia war as long as they can. And there are far too many Republican establishment people who also love war. They love the machine. And you can say what you will about me, and there are other radio hosts that don't really agree with what I'm saying, but that's okay. We don't all have to agree. I'm just going to tell you the way I feel. And listen, this is coming from somebody that in the 2000s, early 2000s, I supported what George Bush did. I look back now and believe it or not, I have to sit back and go, damn, Donald Trump was right. He was right about Iraq. He was. Now, I'm not going to play armchair quarterback. I supported George Bush back then. I thought it was the right thing to do, and I will always support our troops. Always. Always support our military. Something that too many politicians won't do, and mostly Democrats. But we should always take care of our veterans. We just had Memorial Day, folks. And listen, I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. But don't ever, 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 ever forget what Memorial Day stands for. It's not, you can't just run around wishing people a happy Memorial Day. Memorial Day is a day of remembrance. Okay? So say what you will, do what you want, enjoy the weekend. I hope you all did. But I also hope, especially you families out there with kids, I hope you always take a moment and explain to your children and make sure they grow up understanding what Memorial Day is and why Memorial Day is different than Veterans Day. Why there's a difference. Why? You explain, please explain that to your family members. You should have a conversation every Memorial weekend. And instead of just thinking it's all about grilling and pool time and lake time and ocean time and beach time, just spend 5 minutes, remembering the men and women who died to give us what we have today, to preserve that freedom that we have today. Even though our men and women of uniform have done, and so many gave so much and so many gave all. I mean, folks, we have to remember what these men and women in uniform did for us to preserve our freedom, even though they also preserved the Democrats' right to be bozos. But that's this country, and I will always be one of those who I will always fight for our veterans, and I will fight for everyone's right for free speech. I don't care if you get in my face and you call me every name in the book, which some of you do, some of you do, but I don't care if you call me whatever you want to call me. I will fight for your ability and your right to say it. Even though you want to say things, ugly things to me, I don't care. I don't care because your words are never going to hurt me. Your words are never going to hurt me, but I'll fight again. I will always fight for your right to say whatever stupid stuff you want to say, because that's our right. We have the First Amendment. That's what makes us so unique. But it is the left. It is the Democrat Party that constantly wants to shut down speech. It's the Democrat Party that's constantly attacking the Constitution. You have a Democrat Party right now that's attacking the Supreme Court. Why? Ask yourself, why are they? Listen. The Democrats will tell you that the Senate needs to be packed, but they won't tell you that now. They'll tell you that there needs to be additional seats in D.C. and Puerto Rico or wherever else they can think of to add Senate seats, but they won't talk about it now. Why? Because they control the Senate. But the minute they don't control something, they want to destroy it. And right now, they don't control the Supreme Court. No politician, no political group should control the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court should be judges who adhere to the Constitution. We need originalists. We need judges who actually follow the Constitution and they interpret the law. You don't put your ideas and forth on judgments. You don't put your feelings in judgments. You don't stick your finger to the wind and say, well, the public wants this. No. You look at the Constitution, you look at the law, and you apply the law to whatever is facing the Supreme Court. That's what a judge does. And you make decisions based on the law. Period. That's what we need, judges. And right now, thank God, we have some very good justices sitting on that court right now who do love the Constitution and they love the law. They're not activists. You know, the three Democrats that are on that court are activists. They're activists. They can take a something as simple as the Second Amendment, which is the most concise and easy to read amendment probably in the Constitution. And then the Bill of Rights, probably the easiest of all the Bill of Rights to understand. But yet the three Democrats that sit on that court will do everything they can to go against the Second Amendment. Because that's their agenda. That's the Democrat agenda. So we don't need activists on the Supreme Court. So understand right now, we have a majority on the court who actually follows the Constitution. They actually follow the law. Well, the Democrats can't have that. Because if you follow the law, the Democrats can't push their agenda on the people. So you understand this. When the Democrat Party can't legislate, they try to push through judicial activism. And right now, you watch, mark my words, the Democrat Party is on an all-out assault against the Supreme Court. They want to try and convince you and a bunch of heads full of mush in the elite colleges that the Supreme Court is old, it's old white people, it's this, it's that, even though there are three black judges on there, one of them a Republican who was appointed way back when by a Republican, long before a Democrat did it. So, understand. The Democrat Party can't control the Supreme Court, and they're losing their minds over it. And you watch, mark my words, the Democrats and the media, they're sycophant leftist media, they're already attacking the Supreme Court, but they're going to ramp these attacks up. And because they want to discredit the Supreme Court, they want to discredit the whole justice system involving the Supreme Court, because they don't control it. Because they don't control it. Now, the minute they were to be able to get, now listen, this is the danger, folks. If you don't go out there, if you sit on your hands and you don't go vote for Trump and you allow the dementia patient or whoever they put in the Democrat ticket, whoever, I'm still not convinced it's going to be Biden, but if you allow these progressive Democrats to retain the presidency and then to win the Senate and win the House, when they get full power, they will pack the Supreme Court. Because believe you me, their goal is to control the Supreme Court. And if we, the people, give them control of the Supreme Court, we're done. This country's done. For all you people out there who think, who say, oh, that can't happen to the U.S., when we don't have the Constitution holding this place up, then it will crumble and it will fall. And I don't see it happening, because I'm telling you folks right now, it's looking really good for Trump. It really is. Now, we're a few months out, so things can change, but, I'm telling you folks, listen, there's a headline today. There is a headline today that nearly 80% of Americans now consider fast food a luxury. 80% of Americans in this country are considering fast food, McDonald's, stuff like that. They're considering that a luxury. And why? Because of the high prices. Because you can't go to McDonald's or KFC or Arby's, or Chick-fil-A and spend $10 or less for a meal. You know, when Donald Trump was president, you could take a family, two, three, or four, and you could feed them for $20 at one of these places. You can't do that now. It'll cost you damn near $20 for one person, for one freaking Happy Meal, depending on where you are in this country. So 80% of Americans now view fast food, going out to get fast food, going out to get Dairy Queen, going out to get McDonald's, Hardee's, Carl Jr.'s, going out to get In-N-Out Burger. You go out to Whataburger, which I love. You go out. Now it's considered luxury by 80% of Americans. Folks, that's inflation. That is Bidenflation. That is prices getting out of hand because of Democrat policies. And that's going to be one of the big reasons Donald Trump gets elected right there. It won't be because people love Donald Trump. Now, granted, there are a lot of people who do love him. But it's going to be because people, the poor, the middle class, the lower middle, are getting hammered under Biden's policies. Biden and the Democrats. And I've been on the radio, I've been telling people over and over, and this is coming from a fellow always trying to speak to my fellow minorities. As a minority myself, as a minority voter myself, I tried to explain to you, and somebody who was told that I was supposed to be a Democrat all my life, I was supposed to be Democrat. You cannot vote Democrat. The Democrat Party right now hurt, you know who they hurt the most? They hurt the minority the most. They're hurting the poor the most. They're hurting the middle class the most. Today's Democrat Party is all about big corporate elitist friendships and their donors. The Democrat Party makes their donors rich. The Democrat Party makes their friends rich. They make the elitist rich. They've got their club, folks, and you ain't in it. The Democrat Party has their elite club, and you ain't in it. You're not invited either. The only way that you're going to be part of a Democrat elite party, the only way you're going to be part of their world is if you're serving them. You're going to wear your little medical mask and you're going to be serving water, wine, beer, whatever. You're going to be serving their food and cleaning their tables. And then you're going to be vacuuming their floors and sweeping the floors and cleaning their dishes and washing their cars. That's the part of the world you'll be part of. I got news for you. I don't want that. I don't want that. And so folks, it's easy to see for yourself. When you can't go get fast food because the prices are too much, when you can't buy eggs and milk like you normally would because the prices are too high and everything else in the grocery store is high and the gas is ridiculously high, every part of your life is costing you more. It's costing you, listen, everybody in this country, everybody who works and strives to make themselves better, you know, you work and a certain amount of that work, when your sweat equity is paid to you in the form of a paycheck, every month you've got a part of that paycheck has got to pay your basic necessities for life. Your rent, your mortgage, your food, your clothing, your gas, your vehicle repairs, your vehicle car pay, whatever it is you've got. All of those things are necessities that have to be paid first. Before you can put money away in your nut in your nest egg, before you can, I almost called it something else, folks. Before you can put money away in savings, before you can make investments, before you can save for vacation, before you can put a little pile of money so maybe every weekend you can enjoy some eating out and go enjoy some decent restaurants, whether it's Texas Roadhouse or Chops or Bones, no matter what, all the things you do to put money aside for all these extra things that you want. Maybe you want a motorcycle. Maybe you want a jet ski. Maybe you want a boat. Maybe you want a mountain bike. Maybe you want an e-bike. Maybe you want all of those things you cannot do or get until you cover your necessities. Every month, in the beginning of the month, you've got necessities you've got to cover. And right now, Joe Biden and his administration and the Democrats are making it harder and harder and harder for the poor to make it, for the lower income to make it, for the lower middle to make it, and for the middle to make it. Even the upper middle is struggling. Folks, it's going all the way up to people who used to be well off. When you've got 80% of Americans who are now considering fast food is a luxury, so they can't go get it every day or every other day. Listen, not that you should be eating fast food every day, but it should be your choice, not the government's choice. Listen, everything the Democrats do, they want to own you. They want to control what you do. They want to price out you out of home ownership so you can't own a home. They want to price you out of new cars so you can't own a new car. They want to force you into an EV so you can't drive everywhere you want to. They want to force you. They don't want you to eat steak, burgers. They don't want you to eat that because they tell you you're killing the climate. Or they tell you it's not healthy for you. No sugars, no this, no that. So look what Bloomberg and the other bozo Democrats did in New York. And I know he was called himself an independent, whatever. He's a leftist Democrat. They took, you can't have big drink sodas. Should that be the government's choice? No, but that's what the Democrats do. They want to tell you what size drink to have, what you can eat, what you can drive, what you can buy. They're trying to tell you all of the things they want to control. I don't want any of that. And if you still support the Democrat Party, there are a lot of authoritarian countries you can jet off to. But we don't need that mess here in the United States. So this election is so important. But I will tell you right now it's looking good for Trump. And it's not because Trump is more likable, which I do think he is because of what the trials have done. They're making Trump be a more effective campaigner. They're making Trump be a better campaigner. They really are. I mean, it's so funny to watch this stuff because this lawfare that the Democrats are doing and what Biden's DOJ is trying to do to Trump and with the judge trying, you know, the judge is basically part of the prosecution team up there in New York. And this judge that puts the gag order on, everything they're doing to Trump is making Trump a better campaigner. It is freaking hilarious. So I keep the gag order. I don't care. Do it because it's making Trump a better campaigner. And by becoming a better campaigner, Trump is becoming more in touch with the people. Trump was already your epitome of a blue collar millionaire or billionaire or whatever, because he's able to get down on the ground and talk to people in ways that Joe Biden and the elite Democrats can't do. You can't get Joe Biden and the Democrats, whether it's Hillary or John Kerry or any of those idiots, they cannot go face to face with a blue collar Joe Schmo plumber or Sheila the baker, whatever. They can't get down on the ground, whether it's firemen, firewomen, policemen, policewomen. They can't get on the ground face to face with them and relate. But Donald J. Trump can. And the fact that all this mess they're doing to Trump is making him a better campaigner, it's making him relate to people more. And if you want to, there's no bigger example. If you want to see an example of what I'm talking about, you go back and you watch the rally in the Bronx. Folks, listen, that Bronx rally didn't just surprise the media and the leftists and send the Democrats into an absolute panic. It surprised the Trump campaign. It surprised every stupid Republican consultant that told Trump not to do it. Yeah, they're all surprised now. And everybody in the Trump campaign, they were amazingly pleasantly surprised at what happened in the Bronx. And I'm going to get to that. But that, I'm telling you folks, when you are the Democrat Party and you're Joe the dementia patient Biden, and you're forcing the price increases of basic life, the basic needs of life, when you start to not being able to afford it, then the American people start looking at you going, we don't like you anymore. We may not like this other guy, but under him, you see, folks, we've never had this dichotomy before. Donald Trump was president for 4 years. We know what his presidency was like. You've got what the media was telling people, and then you've got people going, wait a minute, I know I was told all this, and I might have believed it. But right now, I'm having trouble making ends meet. And when Donald Trump was president, I didn't have trouble making ends meet. I had more money. I had more food. I had more abundance. There was abundance, period, under Donald Trump. And under the Democrats and Biden, there is no abundance. there's dependency. And people will naturally want abundance more than they're going to want dependency. And now you're seeing that movement. You're seeing a realignment right now, because so many voters that are in the bottom down there in the poor, the lower middle, the middle, the even the upper middle, they're looking around going, I can't afford to live. I could afford to live when Donald Trump was president. I can't afford to live now. So you know what? Right now, we don't have two unknowns. We have two knowns. We know what Biden's doing to destroy the economy, and we know what Trump has done to help the economy. And they're going to bring Trump back. They're going to bring him back because of the economy. Just like Carville was wondering the other day, that James Carville was wondering why people aren't listening to him and why the Democrats are doing so bad and why Trump's doing so well. Well, Carville, you moron, do you remember? You're the one that coined the phrase. It's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. Well, Carville, it's the economy, stupid. All right, folks, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the On Point with Victor Show.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the Internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the On Point with Victor Show. I am Victor Armendariz, the Mexican not afraid to be American. All right, bien mi gente. All my gente, my people. You know, my dad used to say that. You are my people. Whenever I brought home good grades, my dad would say, you are my people. But the minute I brought a bad grade home, or the minute I got in trouble back in school, my dad would say, you are your mama's people. So when you hear me say mi gente, I'm just saying my people, because all of you are my people. All you listeners, even you Democrats out there that are listening, you're my gente too, because eventually you're going to wake up. And a lot of you are starting to wake up. A lot of you are starting to wake up. Listen, I mentioned the Bronx, and I'm going to try to move through because I got to get to some Nikki Haley stuff. But listen, folks, go back and look. If you didn't see the rally that was the Bronx, and why I've said everybody was surprised, it was because, look, the Donald Trump campaign, they set up a little, it wasn't a big stage. It wasn't your normal Trump rally because they weren't calling it a rally. They were just basically saying, we're going to meet with the people of the Bronx. We're going to meet with some voters, because they didn't think they were going to be happy if they got 3,500 people, because that's all they sold tickets, or not sold, but they gave tickets out or made enough room for 3,500 people. And there ended up being somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, 25,000 people. We're not really sure because there was no official count, because there was only room for 3,500. But when you looked at all throughout the park and for two or three blocks, there was a line of people. There were people everywhere. The estimated number, the best they could get, I think best number they're coming up with is 25,000 or so. That's a lot of people in the Bronx listen, folks, when I tell you the Bronx, you can't get much bluer than the Bronx. I mean, the Bronx are part of the people that elected AO freaking C twice, or three times, however many times that girl's been elected. The Bronx is bluer than blue. I believe 80% of the Bronx voted for Joe Biden. And now That is changing, and this is what I'm talking about. There is a newer a realignment going on right now, and the biggest, my warning right now to the Republican Party, these people are not running to you, Republican Party. They're running to Trump, and not all of them are going to like Trump. But they're going to Trump because they're like, hey, here's a guy who loves the United States. He's saying he's going to help the people. He actually did help us when he was president. We think he can do it again. We're sick of Joe Biden. We're sick of the Democrats lying and pandering to us and then screwing us. So we're going to go with Trump. That's what a lot of black people are saying. A lot of brown people are saying, yellow, white, whatever. The voter is moving to Trump, and it's because of their life experiences. So you're going to have this movement. And again, Republican Party, hear me well. These minorities are not running to jump in your lap, Republican Party. They're going to Trump because they see what Trump did four whatever years ago. And they're seeing what Trump's going, at least what they think what he's going to do by reelecting him. So understand, Republican Party, you better figure out a way to get on board with Donald Trump. You better figure out a way to not be a hindrance like you were in Trump's first term. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, please. The biggest impediment to Donald Trump in his first term wasn't this BS, what the Democrats were doing. It was the establishment Republican Party. They fought him tooth and nail, especially the first 2 years of his first presidency. So it is going to be up to the Republican Party. If you want to keep the Republican tent as big as it's about to get, full of black voters, brown voters, yellow voters, and whatever, if you want to keep it, you better figure out how to work with Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump is the message that's bringing minorities over. It ain't your Republican establishment message. It's Donald Trump's message. So you better figure that one out. Better figure it out. Because I, for one, I want to save this country. And right now, listen, it isn't, right now Donald Trump is just the leader. But in 4 years after Trump, it's going to be Haley, or it's going to be DeSantis, or it's going to be somebody else in the Republican Party. And we have to go the way that Trump is leading right now if we want it, to keep the big tent, because it is Donald J. Trump who's bringing these voters over. It's not the Republican Party. So understand that. Understand that. Please, please, anyone out there who's in the establishment, you better take that heat. So, but the Bronx was the biggest way to tell this, because so look at the people that were at that rally, thousands, but, and most of them were Democrats. Most of them have been historic Democrats, and now they're going to vote for Donald Trump. I hope they vote down ticket, but I don't know if they will vote down ticket, but they're going to vote for Donald Trump. And one of the guys that was there was just amazing. If you don't watch the whole rally, then at least pull up and watch Ruben Diaz. Ruben Diaz Sr. is a lifelong Democrat. He was a Democrat elected state senator, I believe, for 40, 50 years in New York. He is the Bronx. Everybody in the Bronx knows their number one go-to Democrat was Ruben Diaz Sr. And I want you to hear what Ruben, I want you to hear just a little snippet of what Ruben said at the Trump rally. So I'm going to go to a soundbite right now. This is Ruben Diaz at the Trump rally in the Bronx.
As a minister, president of the New York Hispanic Credit Organization, I want to tell AOC.
He's talking about Cortez. Because Cortez said God didn't want Trump there, so it was going to rain. So check this out.
This morning, she intended to become a prophet. And she said, even God doesn't want Trump in the Bronx because it's going to rain. Madam Prophet AOC, you have become a false prophet.
You've become a false prophet. This is Ruben Diaz.
Look at what a beautiful day. That means that not only you guys want Trump in the Bronx, because if we're going to measure that for the weather, then I would say humbly that even God wants you in the Bronx.
Even God wants you in the Bronx, Trump. Folks, that was Ruben Diaz Sr., a long, long, well-known Democrat from the Bronx. And he endorsed on that day, on that night, he endorsed Donald J. Trump. And he said, this Democrat will be voting for Donald J. Trump. And he's a Hispanic. He actually also said, as a Hispanic, he stood on that stage and apologized for that ridiculous judge up in New York, Marshawn, for the way he's treating Trump. I mean, it was fascinating to see. But you had Democrat after Democrat after Democrat from the Bronx that was at that rally saying, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. I have to. I can't vote for Biden. He's destroying me. I can't afford to live because of Joe Biden's policies. That's what you heard from the Democrats. Listen, you go back and look at some of CNN. I scanned CNN and MSNBC because I knew they would be in an absolute meltdown. And CNN, to their credit, I couldn't believe their reporter, or at least some of them, they actually put this on the air when the reporter was saying, well, yeah, because they were all saying, oh, these aren't people from the Bronx. And the CNN reporter had to say, no, actually, a ton of these people were from the Bronx. A majority of the people at the Trump rally were from the Bronx. And they were going up to people going, well, in fact, there was, MSNBC, I believe it was an MSNBC reporter, because they've been lying through their teeth. They're cutting and pasting and trying to say there wasn't many people there, which you can see it with your own eyes. It's just amazing how blatant MSNBC will mislead their viewers, the few viewers that they have left. But actually, I think MSNBC actually does better than CNN, which is astounding. But that just goes to show you, folks, there's about 30% or so of people in this country who are off the deep end. They're progressive, whack job, authoritarian morons, and they hate this country, and so they watch MSNBC. But you had reporters on MSNBC that were out there trying to confront and get in front of these Bronx voters and say, well, Trump's a racist. And they looked at these reporters and said, what are you talking about? Trump's not a racist. I lived better under Trump, and we need Trump now. I voted for Biden because I believe the BS, but now I don't believe it anymore because Biden's hurting me and I'm going to vote for Trump. I mean, it was amazing to hear some of these voters. Absolutely amazing, which is why I say again, you establishment Republican Party that's got your grip on Washington, you're running the Republican Party, you better understand what I am telling you. Entiendes, por favor. Escúchame bien, por favor. Listen to me well. Because I see it. I'm on the ground. I talk to some of these Hispanics and some black voters. These voters are not running to the Republican Party's lap. They're coming over to Donald J. Trump. So if you want to welcome them to the tent, which you should, you better figure out what Trump is doing to attract these voters and what you haven't been able to do in years. Decades and decades the Republican Party has given mouth service to wanting to attract a minority and hasn't been able to do it. But Donald Trump is doing it. Donald Trump is doing it. So figure it out, Republican Party. I've been screaming at the top of my lungs since 2010. That you better wake up and do some different things to attract the minorities. And the party didn't listen to me. Maybe they'll listen to Donald Trump. Because I'll tell you what, Donald Trump clearly listens. Somebody listens to the On Point with Victor show. Because I said the minute Donald Trump got indicted through that first case in New York, when he got indicted, I said, that's it. Here's Trump's strategy. Trump's campaign needs to be, I'm down for the struggle. I'm down for the struggle. A lot of you black voters and minority voters have told me that something that Republicans don't understand is that the government has been against black voters or let's say Hispanic and minority voters. That the Republican apparatus, that the government in general, not just Republican apparatus, but they view it as the Republicans control the government is against me, the police are against me. And so a lot of minority voters have believed that many Republicans just weren't down for the struggle. They even believe that a lot of Democrats aren't down for the struggle. But the Democrats are able to fool them and have been for years, but not now. It's changing. It's changing because Donald Trump is down for the struggle. The minority voters out there right now witnessing all this lawfare going on, and what I mean by lawfare is that the Biden DOJ and the Democrats are going after Donald Trump. They're going after their opponent. They're going after a presidential opponent. Listen, if you believed in democracy, if you truly believed in democracy and the rule of law, then you will allow the American people to make the decision. It's the American people that should decide if Trump can be president or not. Not these BS lawsuits. Not these ridiculous court cases that have no standing. And these people, these minority voters, they're looking at this going, wait a minute. They're doing to Trump what we felt like has been being done to us for years. We feel, and listen, it may not be true everywhere, and there's some truth to it, I'm sure. But it doesn't matter. What matters a lot, unfortunately, coming from the Democrat side, is feelings. And the minority voter for years and years and years has felt that the machine is against them, that the man is against them, that the police apparatus, they're against them. And that so many people don't understand what it is to be down for the struggle. But now they're looking at Donald Trump and they're saying, man, this man was president for 4 years. We threw him out. We threw him out and he did leave. He didn't stay and try to keep power no matter what lies they're telling you about January 6th. And because January 6th was not an insurrection, folks, you can't have an insurrection if not one person has been charged with insurrection. If one person has not been charged with the crime of insurrection, then there was no insurrection. And to this day, not one person has been charged with the insurrection clause. Not one person has been charged with the crime of insurrection. So there was no insurrection on January 6th. All right? It was just a bunch of dumb people that got out of hand. Now, and it was a small group of the masses that got out of hand. Most of those people were peaceful, waving American United States flags. How do you have an insurrection with no weapons, but you just waving an American flag? It's not an insurrection, folks. It's not. It's not. Now, again, some of those people got out of hand, but they didn't destroy the Capitol. They didn't take down. Do you know what? Wait, folks, just wait. When Donald Trump is reelected in November, you're going to see what an insurrection looks like. Because if Antifa and BLM ever made it into the Capitol like some of these January 6th people did, they're not going to walk in straight lines and take pictures and sit and get selfies done and be escorted by the security. They're going to go in and try to destroy. They'll try to set it on fire. They'll destroy pictures, documents. They'll destroy whatever they can because that's what they do. Because the violence lies on the left. The violence lies on the radical left. And you can go look at the film and all the videotape from January 6th. And those people were really, truly, mostly peaceful. And they were walking in single lines and taking pictures. And just observing the greatness of what the Capitol stands for. That won't happen when BLM gets in there. That won't happen when Antifa gets in there. That won't happen when the militant wing of the Democrat Party gets in there. You wait, folks. You wait. You're going to see what an insurrection looks like. And let's see. Let's see how many Democrats. Let's see how Joy Reid, how quick she calls for insurrectionists to be arrested. No, they'll call it a mostly peaceful protest and a much needed violent one. They'll say that it's needed. You watch, folks. You mark my words. I'm so right. That's all there is to it. I'm right. I'm not angry. I'm just right. I'm just right. So you wait and see the difference. You wait and see, but no one's been charged with insurrection. So there is no insurrection. But that's what you hear them say. And you're going to keep hearing this. And I'm just telling you, folks, you got to wake up. You got to wake up and pay attention because the violence that's going to happen lies on the left, and the violence you're seeing today is coming from the left. And okay, folks, I'm going to move on a little bit because I know I got off point a little bit there. But just pay attention, folks. Pay attention because things are changing. And the biggest warning I have for the Republican Party is these voters, these minority voters, they're not running to you. They're running to Donald Trump. And you better figure out how to work with Donald Trump. You better figure out what it is that he's doing. You better figure out what his message is and why it's resonating with minority voters. Because if you do that, Republican Party, you will become the party of the minority, which you should be. You should be. You should be. It's the Republican Party that believes in small government. It's the Republican Party that believes in self-reliance, or it should be. It should be the Republican Party. Now, granted, we're going to have to get rid of Lindsey Graham and the likes of McConnell and so many Republican establishments. We need people we need to get rid of. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But we can do this in steps, folks. We can do it in steps. Right now, we need to come together and win. Right now, we need to come. Then that's the same message I give to Marjorie Taylor Greene and to the Freedom Caucus and to all the really conservative side of the Republican Party. This goes for you too. This goes for you too. They're not really running to you either. They're running to Donald J. Trump. So all of you people in the Republican Party, all you representatives, you got to get together because we got to win. Winning is what's important right now. And the only person that can win right now is Donald Trump. Because if Donald Trump wins, then a whole lot of you other people are going to win down ticket. At least that's what we're hoping for. But if you get out there and you're on Team Trump and you're understanding why he's resonating, then you too will resonate. You too will resonate. But if you're out there being a bozo establishment Republican still trying to throw Trump under the bus, then you're going to go down in flames. You will go down in flames. Trump will probably be reelected, and then a Democrat's going to win your seat because you're being a bozo. Don't be a bozo. be for the American people, folks. Come on. Do what's right. Do what's right. And what is right is a Republican Party that stands together with Trump and cuts spending, dismantles some of the government bureaucracy, dismantles some government departments, dismantles some programs. That's a Republican Party. Smaller government. Completely gut the tax system. We need to implement a consumption tax system. Let's do it, folks. Let's do it. With Donald Trump, this could all happen. And if we do that, can you imagine 4 years of Trump and 8 years of DeSantis or 8 years of Haley, hopefully a good Haley? Imagine what would happen. We could set this country and save this country and put it on a path where we could really, really save this country for a few decades before it probably goes south again, because the American people seem to forget. And if we don't listen, one of the number one things we've got to do is get rid of the Department of Education. If we don't stop the federal government from having control over our government schools, then we will lose this country eventually. Eventually we'll lose this country because the Democrats are playing the long game. The reason why they want total control of education. Listen, why do you think the Democrats don't like school choice? They say they love choice, but they really don't. The Democrat Party is not the party of choice. They're the party of authoritarianism. The Democrat Party hates school choice. Why? Why don't they want you to have choice on how your child is educated? Because they want to control it. They want to indoctrinate. And years and decades of indoctrination, what happens? You get a bunch of little authoritarian, snothead, elitist kids who go to elite colleges and scream for the death of all Jewish people. They scream for actual genocide. They are so dumb and so indoctrinated that they will look at you and tell you, we are against genocide, while calling for genocide against all Jewish people. That's how stupid these kids are that are coming out of these elite colleges. But it's because of the indoctrination coming from the federal government, who's got a grip on government schools. And that means we want, I mean, I'm serious. We've got to talk to Trump. We've got to talk to all Republicans. We've got to unify on this. We have to take down the Department of Education. We've got to get the federal government out of education, period. Period. That's number one. If we really want to put this country on the long road to survival, and I mean surviving as a republic, surviving as a constitutional republic, if we're going to do that, the first thing that's got to happen is getting rid of the Department of Education. The second thing, to me, would be to scrap the tax system. And everything else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. So, look, folks, I don't have to be an academic know-it-all to know that I'm right. I don't have to be an egotistical fool either to know that I'm right, but I am. Okay, all right, I got to move on a little bit. My goodness, we're running out of time. I want to talk about Haley. Because, folks, here comes Nikki. Listen, I've told you guys before, I like Nikki Haley. I prefer the Nikki Haley of years ago when she was ambassador to the UN. That's the Nikki Haley I want. If we could go back, if Nikki Haley can drop her colluding with the establishment and go back to Nikki Haley, the UN ambassador Nikki Haley, the Nikki Haley from South Carolina when she was governor, who pretty much did some pretty good conservative things. I mean, Nikki Haley, in her heart, in her soul, in her spirit, she is a conservative lady. She's got some good ideas and she did some good things, and she's a very strong lady. When she stood in the UN, man, they didn't want to mess with her. They didn't want to mess with her. But I understand she took a wrong turn and got in bed with, for lack of a better term, she got in bed and started jumping up and down with the establishment because they convinced her that she could beat Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, ain't nobody that was going to beat Donald Trump in this environment. Not as soon as they indicted Trump, Trump won this primary. He and Nikki Haley should have known that. But unfortunately, she listened to the establishment know-it-alls who think, who get it wrong time after time after time after time, but she still listened to them. And it was a shame that Nikki Haley did that. It really was. But I understand it. I understand it because Nikki Haley has high aspirations. And Nikki Haley wants to be president. And good for her. Good for her. Because I think she'd be all right if she goes back to the Nikki Haley, Ambassador Nikki Haley. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley. That's what we need. And I bring this up because I told you guys a few weeks ago that anybody who thinks that Nikki Haley is out of the running for the VP spot, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. And I will tell you, I was so unhappy with the way Nikki Haley campaigned. I don't want her to be the VP. She would not be my choice. But I understand if she is the choice. And I will tell you right now, I do believe she will be the choice. And I'm hoping and praying that if Nikki Haley gets the nod, if Donald Trump asks her to be VP, that she becomes more like Trump and goes back to the Nikki Haley from the UN. When Nikki Haley served in the Trump administration and she was a strong, strong voice for the Trump administration at the UN, that's the Nikki Haley I want if she gets chosen to be VP. And I'm telling you right now, ladies and gentlemen, Nikki Haley is probably going to be Trump's choice. And I know, listen, I'm probably the only radio host that's saying this. I was talking to some of the Erickson folks and we were talking about this and I'm pretty much the only one who believes this. But I am not counting out Nikki Haley. Donald Trump, listen, which you gotta understand, Donald Trump is a shrewd and smart and effective businessman. And that makes him an effective leader because he was a very effective CEO. And Donald Trump is smart enough to analyze the situation. And if he thinks the right move is to pick Nikki Haley, he'll pick her. You know, other thing you need to understand about Donald Trump is he doesn't hold grudges. Donald Trump doesn't hold grudges. You can say what you want and have the biggest fight with Trump during a campaign because he understands competition. Donald Trump, when he makes insults and things like that, he's not doing it personal. It sounds personal, but it's not. He's doing it to win. He's fighting. He's a New Yorker. Since when have New Yorkers been considered nice? Since when have New Yorkers been considered to fight nice? They don't. And Trump is a New Yorker. New York should vote overwhelmingly for Trump because he's one of them. He's one of them. And maybe they will. Maybe they will. Who knows? Listen, Donald Trump has the last polling for, and you don't even need to look at polling, but the polling is showing Trump within, I don't know, 5-6 points of winning New York. But you don't have to look at polling. All you need to do is look at the Biden campaign, who is having to spend money already. We're not even to June yet. And the Biden campaign is having to spend money in New York to shore up their base. When was the last time a Democrat presidential candidate had to spend money in New York? Well, that's happening now because of Donald J. Trump. I mean, folks, it's really, really amazing. But I am telling you right now, Donald Trump is a smart dude. And he's not going to hold a grudge against Nikki. And Nikki Haley wants to be VP. All you need to do is look at what Nikki Haley did the other day. Listen, the media, they had already written the script. They thought they were willing somehow through osmosis or something. They thought they were using some kind of mind games on Nikki. And they thought Nikki Haley was going to be the next Liz Cheney. But listen, as mad as you might be at Nikki Haley, she's not a Liz Cheney, folks. She never has been a Liz Cheney, and I don't think she ever will be. And Nikki Haley came out right before, this was last week, before the Bronx rally. And Nikki Haley came out and she said she's going to vote for Donald Trump. Nikki Haley came out and said, I will vote for Donald Trump. Now, I'm telling you folks, you watch in the next few weeks, you're probably going to see Nikki Haley and Donald Trump standing on a stage together. And she'll give him a full endorsement and she'll encourage her voters to vote for him. Oh. And I'm just telling you folks, pay attention. Because there's a great possibility that he's going to pick her to be VP. And all we can hope for is that we get the Nikki Haley of the UN ambassador days when she served in the Trump cabinet. And she was at the UN ambassador. She was a fireball and she was fantastic. And that's the one we need. We don't need establishment Haley. So now listen, folks, I could be 100% wrong. And in a way, I kind of want to be wrong. But I'm just telling you, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if it is Haley, and then we'll see what happens, folks. But it's not the end of the world if it is. So, all right, listen, we're getting to the end of the show here. There's a lot of other things I wanted to get to. You Democrats out there who are talking about democracy and saving democracy, and you idiots out there who call Donald Trump a fascist and authoritarian. No, it's the Democrat Party. Who is trying to stop RFK from being on the debate stage? That would be the Democrats. Who is trying to stop RFK from being on the ballots? That would be the Democrats. The Democrat Party and the Biden administration doing everything they can to block a man, not just RFK. They're also blocking a black man, a black Democrat from being on the ballot, and they're trying to stop Jill Stein from being on the ballot. It is your Democrat Party that's the authoritarian party, folks, and don't forget it. All right, folks, we got to go. Stay tuned for Locked and Loaded. That's up next with Roger B, and I'll be back next week, and we'll get into more fun topics. Have a good day.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.